I would write a check. Right now, my son knows I'm not f***ing kidding. For $500,000, if I could have that f***ing head of hair. All right, it's Monday at 11 o'clock. You know what that means. It's the Chaz Palminteri Show. And I know things look a little different here because I am in L.A. We have so many great guests here in L.A. I said, you know what? I'm taking a plane. I'm going out there. I'm going to see my son. And I'm getting a studio. I want to see all these great actors and writers and singers, dancers. So I'm here in L.A. But before I bring out my first guest, I want to remind you, if you want to see the one-man show, the show that started it all, the show that was on Broadway, and now I do it all over the country. It was a hit on Broadway and voted best show of the year in Las Vegas. It's the original Bronx Tale, the one-man show. Go to chazpalminteri.net, and I am at a city near you in this year. Also, my restaurants, I have my two restaurants, Chaz Palminteri, 30 West 46th Street and 264 Main Street in White Plains. Did I say 30 West 46th Street? Yeah, that's right. And my merchandise, again, chazpalminteri.net. My cigars, my wine, all on chazpalminteri.net. I'm telling you, I'm having a ball with all this. The cigars, 3 years in the making. The wine was 3 years in the making. You know what I always say, folks? They'll buy my stuff once, but if it ain't good, they'll never buy it again. The cigars, premium cigars, Bronxdale cigars, and the Chaz Cabernet wine. So my first guest, a great actor, lives out here in L.A., went to NYU, born in the Bronx. I knew I liked this guy. I knew I liked him. He's an American actor. He played Brock Rumlow and Crossbones in the Marvel Cinematic Universal films, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Captain America, Civil War, Avengers. I mean, this guy has done The Purge, starred in The Purge, Anarchy, okay, portraying Sergeant Leo Barnes, a role he did again in The Purge election year, and has appeared in The Warrior. The Warrior, that's with Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy, yes. The Gray, End of Watch, Zero Dark Thirty, Wolf Warrior 2, The Wheelman, and Boss Level. And he's going to tell us about his new projects. He nonstop working, a great actor. I want you to meet Frank Grillo. Frank.
Thanks, pal. That's great. Thank you.
It was my pleasure, man. So, I mean, that's some of the stuff he did. Tell us what you're doing now, Frank.
I'm about to leave next week to go do the season of Tulsa Kings with Sylvester Stallone, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, that's fun. That's going to be fun. Sly's great.
Yeah, it's going to be an adversarial mob boss who Sly's kind of moving in on, and so it'll be a fun year.
Oh my god!
I've never played an Italian. I did the movie Lamborghini. I played Ferruccio Lamborghini.
Yes.
Last year, but I've never played like an Italian mobster. So this will be fun.
I think that's not a stretch. I think you'll.
No,
be
I think
fine.
I could do it. But you know what? It's a Kansas City guy.
Right.
Who was born in the Midwest, but so it'll be an interesting kind of.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Do the mob guys in Kansas City, that's mobbed up Kansas City.
Serious. Yeah. It used to be.
Do they speak with some kind of accent?
You know, I asked Sly, but I didn't get an answer because my first scene, I'm riding a horse. So I'm from the Bronx, and the guys that I grew up with, the guys that were.
We don't ride horses.
They don't wear hats and they don't ride horses. So it'll be interesting to see what I'm doing.
I think that's really nice.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, you know, you got to do your homework, obviously, but...
Yeah, but it's interesting because, I called Sly, but he's not big on, like, backstory or any of that stuff, so I said, all right, send me the script soon so I can see what the hell I'm doing.
Right.
And then I'm going to go do the Peacemaker series with John Cena and Viola Davis.
My God. So yeah. You're like...
So I'm good till the end of the year. So my kids...
You know, all actors say the same thing. They think every part... You've been working for years, you're a great actor, so... God willing, you'll be.
Yeah, you know, I got my own little kind of. I've carved out my own little niche. You know, I'm not in that. that studio world with those.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But that's what, you know, and look, we're very similar. Okay, and everybody says, you know, those studio, there's like five guys.
Right.
It's like five guys.
Right.
You know what I, and, you know, and they're like, you know, there's Leo, obviously, who's wonderful, great, great actor, and a great guy, too. You know, there's Leo, Denzel.
Right.
There's a few, four or five
Brad,
guys.
Tom, that one, this one.
They get
one,
the $20 million a movie, and then the rest is open for us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's open for us.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, because I've done a couple of movies, you know, dare I say, just for the money. And,
yes.
And, you know, the action movies pay a lot of money. And I got divorced a few years ago, and it cost me a lot of money. So I had to do a couple things that I wouldn't necessarily have done. You would think that I killed a busload of nuns.
I mean,
what came back at me, for how dare you do these movies? And it was interesting because, you know, I'm not a $20 million guy, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, people don't realize that actors need to work because
they
have to take care of their families like everybody
else.
Yes. So it's just, but now I'm getting to the age where I just love to work.
And
work with people.
And like, look, you're established, I'm established. You could do a movie that's tanks. We all do them that tanks.
Right.
You know, we all have great movies that we did, and we have movies. You know what? Woody Allen, he was the one, I actually talked to him about that. And I said, he was doing a movie every year.
Right.
Every year. I don't know how he does it, because I'm a writer. When he's shooting a movie, he's writing a movie.
Right.
I can't do that.
No. He's cutting the movie.
Yeah. I have to do that one at a time. I can't do it. So I said, Woody, you're making like, you're going to have like 100 movies that you directed, which is unheard of. And he said, I go, how do you look at that? And he goes, well, here's the deal, Chaz. At the end of my lifetime, I'm going to say have 80 movies, whatever, that I directed. He goes, 10, they'll say classics, whatever, great.
Right.
20, they'll say really good movies. Maybe another 20, they'll say, it's all right, not that great.
Right.
And another 15, 20 will suck.
That's Woody Allen.
And he goes, and that's all you look at.
Right, I know.
He goes, it's not about what they say, it's about being, you know, prolific, about just putting it out
there.
That's
what I believe. I believe,
you know.
And, you know, I had a conversation with the late, great Ray Liotta one time,
like
who
Ray.
Said to me, don't worry about what they say. Actors act.
Actors act.
Go act. You know, people, they're paying you. How much money to go do? You go do that.
You go act.
You don't worry about what anybody
says.
I
don't know how you feel about this. I don't read any reviews.
I try not to. Once in a blue moon, and I tell them not to send them to me.
Yeah, I tell
good or bad.
Good or bad.
Yep.
The good ones are the worst.
Right.
Because the good ones pump you up.
I know.
And that fucks you all up.
I know.
Forget the good ones.
I know.
Okay? And De Niro is the one who told me that. He goes, if you believe the good ones, you got to believe the
bad
ones. And he said, if you'll get 1,000 raves, you'll get one bad review, you'll focus on
that. It's so true. You know, I used to laugh at that statement because I've heard it many times.
And yeah.
When I started to do things that were being reviewed, I'd be like, oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Wait.
You motherfucker.
This fucking guy. Who is he?
Who is
he? I'm going to find him.
That's fine to see this fucking guy. I remember, and it was very early, and Bob said, do not read reviews. And you know what? Now I'm so disciplined. I could be on a paper and I could see a review. And I can see my face, and I'll just go like this.
Yeah, you don't bother.
I won't read it.
But let me ask you a question. You do a movie like Bronx Tale, right?
Yeah, well,
Right? I got to imagine that was 99% reviewed well.
That was the last time I read reviews, because they were so great. Because I'm the one, because that's how it happened.
Right.
The reviews were so incredible that I was telling Bob, and he said, listen to me. And he kind of mentored me. He said, Don't read all that shit. He goes, it's not good for you. He goes, trust me when I say that. Try not to read this stuff.
Right.
And because I was reading it, I was like, what the? I said, did I write this? What the fuck? I said, does this guy feel that way about me?
I know.
That's crazy.
I know.
You know, but now, I mean, obviously, that was my first. Second movie. My first one was Stallone, Oscar.
Right.
So, yes, I try not to, and I don't. I want to ask you. So, you grew up in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Pelham Bay? Pelham Parkway?
Yeah, Pelham Parkway. Bure Avenue.
Peoria. You went to NYU.
Yeah, for a while.
When? What made this act? What all of a sudden, hey, I want to be an actor.
You know, it's so funny you ask that because there's so many guys I watch interviews and ladies and they say, you know, I've been an actor since I'm 12 and it's all I ever wanted to do. And it's like, no, that wasn't me. I thought about acting. I loved movies.
Right.
But I was all over the place, you know? And at one point I must've been 19 years old and I was like your son. I was pretty when I was young. And people kept coming up to me and going, are you an actor? Here's my card, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was different times, right?
Sure.
And at one point I said, no, but I want to be. And I started to do commercials. That's how I started. I was a kid. Right. I started to do, and then all of a sudden I was making a fortune doing national, remember national TV?
Remember those? They used to pay.
I made a fortune.
Pay.
So much so that I had checks on my dresser. I didn't have a checking account.
I know.
Checks on my dresser. My friends would come over and go, are you out of your mind? You're rich. I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
And I would, every once in a while, I'd cash a check and use the money. That's how I lived my life.
Right.
And then I went to an acting class. This is how my life started. I went to an acting class and I felt something in my body that I had never felt towards anything, right? And I was on the trajectory of a conventional kind of education, and you know, I didn't know what I was going to do, I was going to do, right? And I said, man, I can't get rid of this feeling. Like, whatever it was performing in front of people, it just lit me up.
Right.
And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this money and I'm going to invest it in the best teachers I could find. Right?
Yeah.
Just like I would if I was boxing or if I was grappling.
Right,
I want to find the best coaches, right?
Right.
And that's
what
I did. I started with teachers, Harry Master George and who was my great teacher in New York? Harold Guskin.
Yes.
Great people. And I started to do this, right?
Right.
And from the commercial agent, they got me a theatrical agent. I went on my first audition. And it was for a soap opera. And my friends were like, you don't want to do that. I'm like, what? What's wrong with that? It's acting. I don't give a shit.
Hello?
They pay you? I go, they pay me. I'll go. And I got it. It was the guiding light.
First audition.
And I thought, man, this acting shit is easy, right? So I do the soap opera for a couple of years. And then I decide I want to be a serious actor.
Right.
So I tell the producer, I'm going to quit. Because you can't quit. You're the star. You can't quit. I said, I really don't want to do this anymore. Because you're not quitting, you got to wait. You got to do the whole
thing. You got to do the contract.
Yeah. So I do that. I get on a plane literally with who would become my wife. And we fly. By then I had an agent, UTA. They had an audition for me. I land. That day I go to CBS Radford and I audition for a TV show with Gary David Goldberg, who was the creator of the Michael J. Fox show. Right?
Yes.
And he said to me, you're going to get this job, but you're going to tell your agents not to negotiate. And that was my kind of introduction.
You got the second audition?
I got the...
Oh, get the fuck.
By the way, it was a TV show that
Holy shit. It
was on network television, on NBC, David Goldberg.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. But guess what?
What?
That went off after about six episodes. It was the first TV show DreamWorks had ever
done. I don't care.
Steven Spielberg was sitting in the... Oh, I was doing this. I'm on stage because you do those sitcoms.
Right, yes, I remember.
And I'm on stage.
Yeah.
Fridays was like, you know, it was like a
shoot.
Play.
Right,
and
right.
In the audience was a guy named Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg. And there I was, right? I'm like, this is easy. I can't believe
it. I got to tell my son this.
Yeah, this is so easy.
Because I mean him, we always go. I go, look, 50 auditions, you hope you get one.
Wait, it gets better. That show gets canceled. I got the big agent, the whole thing. I don't get it. Now, I don't know how to audition.
Right.
I don't really.
Right,
It was lucky.
Right.
And 9 months go by, 10 months go by, 11 months go by. Now I'm stressed.
You're out there with everybody.
I'm out there with everybody. Yeah. Then I got to sell the Range Rover. Right?
Fuck yeah.
Range Rover.
I've been there.
And I go back to training people. I started to train people. And then little by little, I got better in auditioning. But it became a struggling act. So it was weird. I worked right away. And
that's pretty good.
Yeah, man. It was good. And then I became a struggling actor, which I'm glad I did because it forced me.
Right.
And I'm a maniac with learning things. So it forced me to seek out the very best people I could possibly find to work with me to teach me.
Wow.
And I got, like we were talking about jujitsu earlier, I got obsessed with learning about
it. Learning.
And that's what kind of lit my fire. Wow. Yeah.
So, Frank, I got to ask you. I mean, I'm looking at you. You're like, you're in incredible shape. And I know you because I had them as a guest on the show. Was Justin Fortune and his wife, Tamara. Yeah. I mean, you train at their gym.
Every day.
Every day.
For the past 9 years.
9 years every day.
Yeah.
And my son Dante, who trains there too, told me. He says, oh, Dad, you got to do Frank. He goes, you got to see Frank fight. Now, you were a wrestler.
Wrestler, yeah.
Then you became jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu in the middle of that.
Brown belt.
Yeah, and Muay Thai.
Muay Thai.
Yeah, and I love fighting. I love fighters.
Boxing.
I love.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I have a show. I had a show on Netflix called that we produced called Fight World, where I was also a big Anthony Bourdain freak. I loved him.
Me too.
And so I fashioned the show after his show, and I traveled around the world, and I embedded myself in fight cultures around the world.
Wow.
And it was more of a cultural thing than it was. It wasn't a tutorial about fighting, but I learned. I love. That's how much I love fighting and fighters, and why people fight.
It's amazing. You're so similar to me because I grew up. Like I said, I grew up in the fight game. I boxed, but never professionally. But my dad was a professional trainer. He was a bus driver, but he was also professional fighters.
Right.
So my father was a great trainer. He trained me. I trained my son. My grandfather trained my father. It's like a tradition.
Right.
Boys got to know how to fight.
I train my sons. I train my boy that's his age since he's 10 years old.
I've been doing my son since he's 3 or 4. I go jab, right hand. You know, put my hands up like that.
Yep.
I believe boys should know how to fight. It'd be nice for women to know how to fight, too. Because as you grow up, you get bullied. People bully you, and you got to know how to fight.
Absolutely.
So,
and you also need to know that you know how to handle yourself. It will behaviorally change the way you approach the world.
Absolutely.
That's what I tell people. It's not because I want my kids to fight.
No.
It's because I want them to be able to be themselves and not be afraid.
Yeah, I've had like people when I was teaching, you know, where I live is very, you know, very liberal. And some of these people was like, why will you teach your son violence? I said, no, you don't get it. I said, I'm teaching my son to fight so he doesn't fight.
Right.
Do you understand that?
No, they don't.
I go, fighting brings discipline. It brings character. You have to take care of your body. You have to go to sleep. You got to wake up and work out. You can't take drugs.
It's eating well.
Eating well.
All of it. Sleeping.
Sleeping. Eating.
All of it.
Exactly.
All of it. Discipline.
And you know, and again, a quick story. My father taught me, and I trained, and I was 11 in the gym, 12 in the gym. And I could, if you looked at me at 12 years old, you would say, this kid's going to be a fighter.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I was that good, pretty. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I just knew all the moves.
And you physically, you know, you're big, you're tall. Yeah.
I had my first real fight when I was like 12, not a boxing in the gym, in the street.
Right.
A guy put up his hands, I put up my hands, and it was like, bing, 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 and he went down, and I looked at my hands like I didn't know I did it.
Right.
And it was right there. I just felt, fuck yeah.
Yeah, and then you don't have, you know, you're not afraid.
I wasn't afraid.
Boys
anyway,
that are afraid.
We
have a problem with that in this world. People,
yes.
People in general.
This toxic masculinity drives me crazy.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, but when I hear it, I go, a man should be a man.
Right.
I'm not saying anything, but could I open a door for you? Could I be a gentleman for you? Is that a problem? I mean, excuse me. So if the burglar comes in with a knife, then I'm okay to step up?
Right.
I mean,
and even then, maybe not.
And maybe,
right.
I mean, come on.
No,
man.
I don't, the whole talk, we could go on, we could do 10 shows about, you know, this whole kind of, what's kind of transpired in the last 5 or 8 years about toxic masculinity.
That's bullshit.
It's bullshit. It's bullshit. What do you want to emasculate? Boys, you want to make them go against what God created in man. I mean, no, my sons, I still smack them in the ass. Well, not anymore because they're bigger, but I smack them in their ass when they needed a smack in the ass. I got in their faces if they were disrespectful to their mother. You know, if they started to roll their eyes, they know there was a lid. There's always a bit of fear that my sons have in me. I've never had to I've never hit my sons.
Right.
I've done that.
Right.
They know I'm mad.
Right.
They don't do what they're not.
No, when my son, when I got mad, my son knew, all right, I cannot push this.
That's right.
Because a child, if you let them just do anything, listen, I was a kid, you were a kid, we take advantage.
My father beat the shit out of
me. Yeah, well, okay.
So did my mother.
Yeah, my mother would kick my ass. Yeah. But I was like, I knew I can't push the limit here.
No.
Because my father said, you be home at 10. I had to get home at 10. Now, if I pushed it a little later, I knew I was going to get chewed out. But you got to have that.
My son's 27. He leaves the house. He tells me where he's going. When he gets to where he's going, he calls me and says, right. I'm here. When he's leaving, God is my judge. When he's leaving,
right.
He says, I'm on my way home.
Wow.
So I always know where they are. Because, you know, I said,
yes.
You don't want to, you're going to make me crazy and I'm going to make you crazy.
Right.
So it's easy.
Right.
Just tell me where you are.
Well, now, you're in great physical shape. I mean, what is your diet? Like, you eat once a day?
I eat once a day. I do a lot of intermittent fasting.
You know, I do that.
Yeah,
oh, it's great.
It's so good for us.
Yes.
And we're discovering more and more benefits from it. So I eat little. I don't tax my body very much. With food, you know, I watched my mother basically kill herself from eating too much, and I eat clean. I eat, you know, I eat a lot of grass fed meat that's sent to me.
Fish,
fish, a lot of wild caught, never any farm raised.
Now they're talking about that new thing with salmon. That's terrible for you.
Yeah, really terrible for you.
Yeah, farm salmon.
Farm salmon
kills you.
It kills you. It's terrible. And then, you know, some Japanese sweet potatoes and it's nothing. I'm not a foodie. You know, I grew up because of wrestling and boxing. And
right.
I grew up having to cut weight all the time.
That's right. You're wrestlers.
Yeah.
My God.
I used to throw up. My mother used to go crazy.
You know what Joe Rogan said? He said, out of all the sports, the toughest one, training wise, physical wise, are wrestlers.
It's miserable.
He goes, because when they train, they have to go all out.
And I used to lose a lot of weight. I played football. I was 180 pounds. Then I'd wrestle at 147.
Well,
you know, you're cutting weight. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just not eating.
Yeah.
You know, a sauna suit. To this day, Chaz, because the sauna suit created such an effect with, you know, sweat.
Right.
I can show you this morning. Every morning I'm training in a sauna suit. The professional fighters think I'm nuts.
You still train in a sauna?
Every day. Ask your son. He sees me.
Wow.
Yeah. I love it.
Do you spar sometimes?
A little bit, but me and Justin go at it.
Right.
We go at it. And I'm always, all I ever want to do is, I really want to mostly defense with him.
Defense, you know? Is so important.
I always want to just move, you know?
Defense.
Yeah.
A lot of fighters, my dad used to say, a lot of great fighters, nobody teaches them defense.
No.
You know,
or footwork, or even their feet,
footwork.
Where their feet
you don't
are.
Want to get hit.
No, no. And it's just so beautiful. I just love it. It's dancing. It's, it's gorgeous.
I mean, I always think it was, you know, Sugar Ray Robinson, you know, 102 fights, no losses, 90 knockouts.
To me, Sugar Ray Robinson changed the sport of boxing.
Yeah, to me, he was the greatest.
Right. The way he fought was that you didn't see anybody else fight like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was, yeah.
Knocking guys out, backing up.
Yes.
I mean, please.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I think he fought Jake LaMotta like, you know, once, then 6 weeks later, fought him again.
I know.
Now it's like they take a fight every 2-3 years.
Crying.
It's crazy.
He's a crybaby.
Right?
I know.
I mean,
I know.
Wow. So, I mean, what's really, you're acting, your physical training. I mean, are those your two passions, you would say?
Yeah, you know, fitness, growing old gracefully is not something I'm interested in. I'm constantly trying to biohack the system.
Right.
And figure out what it is that makes us live, not just longer.
Yes.
But quality of life, right? Because
that's
as I
everything.
Get older, yeah, you know,
right.
I'm an avid dirt bike rider. And I've been riding dirt bikes for as long as I've been, you know, training. And I just bought my son a bike, and I've got to train him now how to
right.
ride a dirt bike. And I love being out on my dirt bike as much as I love acting, as much as I love fight. So there are things, there's so many friends of mine that are actors, and all they do is act and talk about acting.
Yes.
And that's it's great for them, but I can't live my life that way. So yeah. I love training. I love being outdoors. I love being on my bike. I love being with my kids.
Me too.
You know, they are the most interesting people I know.
Yeah. You know, Jonathan Peterson?
Yeah.
He said that the biggest...
Jordan Peterson,
yeah. I'm sorry. He said the biggest compliment you could have as a parent is when your kids get older and they want to hang out.
That's my kids. My son's with me all the time.
My son, Dante, and my daughter.
Yeah, and it's a gift. I don't have a lot of friends anymore. Right. I mean, I know we all know a lot of people.
Right.
But I'm not going anywhere with anybody. I want to hang out with my, you know, I don't know how much longer, you know, I don't know how much longer.
It's funny you say all that because everybody I speak to, the biggest thing they're afraid of is death.
Right.
And even the ones who don't admit it, say it. And, you know, not to get a morbid conversation, but and I always tell people when they think about that is because I'm big on that. Like, I take NMN.
Me
you
too.
You take NMN?
Of course, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, man. Great. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Dr. David
Look into metformin.
Metformin, yeah.
Look into metformin.
Yeah, I've heard
too.
About that. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to keep the you know, Clint Eastwood said, you got to keep the old man out. Just keep him out.
Right.
You know.
That's it. You got to keep that out.
Keep the old man out.
Right.
It's quality of life.
I know.
I mean, I work out. I'm a fanatic working out. I eat.
In great shape. You're an athlete, right?
Yeah, I feel in good shape, you know, but I would pay. I have to tell you right now. I would write a check. Right now, my son knows I'm not fucking kidding. For $500,000, if I could have that fucking head of hair.
You know, it's so funny. Everybody's
really
with the hair.
Pisses the shit out of me.
And you know,
right.
I've never colored it. I've never.
Don't even.
God is my judge. I've never put dye in my hair. Listen to this.
I do mine, so I can tell
this character I'm playing, they called my agent and they said, will you find out who dyes his hair? So my agent called me and he goes, they want to know who dyes your hair. I go, tell them no one dyes my hair.
Wow.
And I don't, it's my hair. And so blah, blah, blah. And they were shocked that I'm 58 years old and I have hair. And I'm like, I don't think about it, but I guess.
See, well, like when you get your hand and you run it through your hair.
Yeah, it's in my way.
I want to throw this fucking table over right now. I want to throw this table over.
You know,
because are you fucking exquisitely handsome, you have this fucking head of hair it just pisses me off. You know, like, all right, you gave the guy looks, God. You got to keep his fucking hair.
It's so funny. And you know, people are mad at me. My friends get mad at me about my hair. I'm like, what, guys? What are you gonna fucking? I don't know how to wear my hair any different. It's my hair. Leave me alone. Then they'll get mad at me because they're eating and they're drinking and they're overdoing it, and I'm with my steak and my they're like, don't you fucking eat?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Why am I bothering you?
Yes. Am I bothering you?
Why is my existence
bothering
you? Because you can't control yourself.
Right.
That's why it's bothering you. It's so funny.
But you see, that's the thing. You know, people don't realize that. All depression, and again, not to get into all depression and all negativity comes from the fear of death. People just are negative, they're down, and subconsciously that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
So I say, hey, man, once you can conquer that, you know, which I work on and I try and I go, hey, wait, it's your purpose. Your purpose is the most important thing.
Right.
Don't think about the past. That's over. Think about the future. Because you're worrying about something that didn't happen yet.
That's, and you have no control over it.
Right. And 90% of the shit you worry about never happens.
Never happens. Ever. And by the way, if you read the Stoics, if you read Seneca and Marcus Aurelius,
they said, do not worry
about the next day.
You know, right? My son and I, we talk about the Stoics. How fucking smart were these people?
You know what I mean? I mean,
there's no internet, there's nothing.
No. Read Marcus Aurelius. If there was
that
one.
That is the best.
That's it. I mean, it's on my walls.
Yes.
I say to my, that's how I raise my children.
Yes.
And, you know, I've lost two very close people. One was my father's brother's son.
Right.
Who grew up with me. We all grew up in one house.
Right.
He took his own life about a year ago. And then my manager, who before my manager was a dear friend of mine, he took his own life.
Really?
And I struggled with the thought that they could not find what was it about life that they could not grip onto that was important enough to stay here, right? And I couldn't get them in the gym. There was no purpose.
That's true mental illness.
It's true mental illness.
When you decide to check out
with kids,
because that's
or your careers, like my manager represented Margot Robbie and Chadwick Boseman and all these big stars and his family is, you know, his brother is one of the most beautiful guys I know, Kevin Uvain, who runs CAA. It's a big family with a beautiful, you know, it's just a beautiful legacy. And he's such a beautiful boy and couldn't get past that thing, you know, that.
I mean, to take your own, and especially if you have children, if anything, it's your kids go, no, I can't do it because of them.
Well, my cousin, the kid was right in the other room, found him in the bathroom, right? Yeah, so you think, wow, I can't even logically.
No, I can't.
Because it's not an ailment that you can logically figure out. There's something else that is so deep.
So deep.
Yeah. So, you know, but for me, I'm not a depressive, like, I don't, whatever happens, you know, even with money, I've been fortunate where money's always found its way into my pocket.
Right.
I've never struggled with money. But even in times where you're kind of, I'm like, what am I going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to take it as it comes. I'm not going to let it fucking weigh me down.
But see, your attitude, Frank, is your attitude is like, I believe there's this energy in the world.
Right.
Okay. And there's the positive energy and the negative energy. Some people hook onto the negative energy. You ever get these people, you go, I like this kid. He's a nice guy, but I can't be with him.
Can't
be around him.
I mean, I'm in LA. I mean, I don't. Yeah,
I just can't be around them.
I know.
Because after a while, you just start going, oh, my God.
And then it seeps into your DNA.
Yes.
And before you know it,
you're depressed.
You're not sleeping somehow.
Yes.
Like, I sleep 9 hours a night, every night.
Yeah.
Right? But
wow.
Somehow, now I'm not sleeping. Oh, yeah. It's that guy I'm talking to.
Yes, because my shrink, I'll never forget my shrink. I see Dr. Phil Stutz. They did a documentary on him called Stutz.
It's great.
He's brilliant.
It's great. That was a great documentary.
I tell people, I go, if you have problems, first of all, he doesn't see anybody anymore.
Right.
He's too big now.
Right.
He just goes, like, I can't do it. But I haven't seen him so long, he'll see me. 32 years. I said, I'll go 6 months. I'm here 32 years. You know, but it's because of him that he just teaches you that, man, you know, he goes, when you're around negativity, he goes, you cannot bring anybody up if they don't want to go up. No matter how many times you talk to him, if they don't want to get up.
I've heard you say this before on the show. I've heard you say that.
I've said it,
You said it. Yep.
No matter how many times. He goes, but the opposite is not true. They could bring you the fuck down.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm like, there's certain people you just got to say, all right, get off of the bus.
I'm telling you, I wake up in the morning and I live in a nice house. There's a lot of windows and trees. Yeah. I live up in the canyons there, and every morning I wake up before everybody. I open all the sliding doors, and then I put on meditation music.
Yes.
When my kids wake up for school, they wake up in an environment that is nurturing and calm.
Right.
And so, over the years, if it's not on, they're aware of it. Like, because I grew up in such a chaotic place. My parents had me when they were very young. And they had no money, and it was chaos, chaos, chaos.
You have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have a brother who's also neurotic, like my parents, and a younger sister, right, who's got some eating issues, right, because my father made her crazy.
Right.
And I decided I wasn't going to let that affect me.
Right.
And I said, okay, I'm not going to do this if I ever have kids. I'm going to make them feel safe.
Wow.
And I knew that even when I was a kid. If I ever have kids, they need to not feel this way.
Yeah.
And so my thing is to make them always feel positive, even in a negative situation.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not always successful. It's
a lot of work,
trial and error.
A lot of work.
But it's that mindset, I think, that you have to keep, especially in today's world, which is, I don't know about you, but I think the world's upside down.
Oh, everything's upside down.
I don't even know what to say anymore.
We could do 10 episodes
on that. The other day I had an American flag on my shirt. Evidently, that's not allowed.
See, I know. I have it in my home where I live. I have this big, you have a gate where you got to get into through a gate to get to where my house is.
Right.
In front of the gate, I have a huge American flag.
Yeah. But somehow, I
don't give a fuck.
Right, me either. So I bought 4 more American flag shirts because I'm going to bother everybody.
Because
I'm like, This is the I am the American dream. My father came from the dirt of Calabria.
Yes.
It was a dirt
farm. And mine from Sicily.
Right?
Yes.
And became an American and wouldn't let me speak they didn't speak Italian in front of me because we wanted to be American.
Right.
Because that was the opportunity. And guess what? It worked.
It worked.
Right? We were different morally. It was a different country morally.
Yes.
It was a different country religiously. It was a different country politically.
Right.
And it worked. It wasn't perfect.
It was no.
But it worked. Right?
Do you ever, and I'm sure you do, and I'm going to ask you this question. I know the answer because I could tell already by the man you are. I was on the phone with a couple of friends of mine, and for some reason it happened in a matter of 10 days. I had a very close friend of mine pass away. Then I had another friend of mine who I was in a band with in the 70s, and he called me. And I said, how are you? He goes, well, and he didn't want any money or anything. He just said, I'm divorced. I live out here now. I have an apartment on my own. He's my age.
Right.
I have health. He goes, I had 5 stents put in. I had back surgery. Had a knee replaced. But I said, gee, man, I'm really sorry. He goes, no. He goes, look, I'm not telling you this for anything. You know, Chaz, I'm just talking like I haven't spoken to you in a long time. He goes, I just want to say I wish you well. It's great. And he watched the podcast. He was very nice. I said, God bless you. But don't you think 3 or 4 days later, I get another guy from back then, and when I was in music, called me and told me he's very sick and he doesn't know how long he's got left. And so it happened like in 10 days, Frank, and I just was like, I hung up the phone and I took a deep breath and I looked around at my home and my life and I started to cry and I went, God, thank you. I go, whatever I did.
Thank you.
I don't know why I'm blessed and they weren't.
I'm getting goosebumps.
I was like.
I do it all the time.
Thank you. I know. Thank you. And I went outside. I opened the big doors. I looked at my property and I was like, thank you, God.
Yeah.
I go, but no, listen to me, God. I've actually said this. No, but I'm serious now. I'm not just saying this. I really want to thank you. I was like trying to like contact him.
Right.
You know, because I'm so fucking fortunate.
Profoundly grateful.
Grateful.
Yeah, I know.
That's the key word.
I know it.
I was grateful. And I think that's what more people should be grateful. I do the grateful flow every night. And Dr. Phil Stutz taught me that. Before I go to bed, I think of 5 things I'm grateful for.
Yep.
And after all, you got to keep different things.
Yep.
And after a while, you start going like, I'm grateful for this mattress.
Right.
It feels so good.
Right.
I'm grateful. And then automatically you think of that. And when I wake up in the morning, I do it again. And it puts me in a great mood.
I live my life exactly the same way.
But that's why you're so successful and you're a beautiful man.
Thank you, brother.
And we're going to, you know, end this. But I there's nothing else to say. But that's why I wish you so much more success and you have it all. You have great kids. You know, I'm still pissed off about that fucking hair. That hair is still pissing me off.
I pissed Chaz Palminteri off.
You made it. No, and my son knows that. When I meet a guy, I whisper to my son, $500,000 right now. I'd pay it if there was a way to have it.
I am grateful, though. I do.
You got to be grateful for
I am
for
grateful
that
for
hair.
The hair. And my brother's got a full head of hair. And, like, it's just in the family.
It's in the family.
Yeah,
you know,
it's weird.
You know what Al Pacino used to say? He goes, it's my fucking hair, Chaz. That's why I'm around so long. It's my fucking hair.
I'll tell you a quick story. Up at Stallone's house, when I had on one side Sugar Ray Leonard watching Canelo, the other side was Al. And we started talking about being Italian, and he put his, you know how Italians hook
arms? Yes, yes, yes.
And he hooked my arm. And Guy Fieri was cooking.
Oh, I know Guy,
right?
Yeah.
And they all got up to go, and he said, sit here for a second. He says, you got great hair.
Fucking Al. Oh, he's got great hair, too.
He does. He's what a
and mean, what a great guy.
Imagine, but for me, I mean, you you're part of that group. For
no,
me,
absolutely.
You know, it's Al Pacino, and I'm just like, I wish my mother and father were here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Think about how blessed we are.
I mean, crazy, crazy the things that, but I do the same thing. I'll end it with this. I say every day, today I was coming here and I said, somehow I manifested in my life meeting your son to come here, sit with you. Because I remember the first time seeing A Bronx Tale and going, oh my God, Oh my God! If that man only made that movie, it would be more than he'd ever have to do in his life.
Well, thanks.
Do you know what I mean? And then you manifest these things, I believe, you know, energy.
I do.
And it's no coincidence that we're similar in many ways.
We are very similar. except you're better, way better looking, and you got a head off.
No, come on, beautiful.
Well, really. Listen, God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Wishing
you so much success, and my God, your career is just exploding.
Thank you, brother.
Good luck on the new show and the movie.
So thanks. I got to say hello to Sly for you.
Please.
Okay.
All right. That's the Chaz Palminteri Show. And we will see you next week for great guests every time. Don't forget Monday at 11 o'clock. See you next week.